station at a time since 1988.
Of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hope your week is off to a roaring start. Fireworks in the Sunshine State. By the time we meet next time around, we'll have some results from the latest primary. If the polls are correct, Mitt Romney has at least a 15-point lead, for whatever that's worth. Newt Gingrich has decided to go after Mitt Romney a different way, because he doesn't have quite the money Romney has for negative political campaign ads. So he's gone to the web, and he's putting out a lot of things that are disparaging Mitt Romney and saying that this guy is nothing more than a moderate. And he's a flip-flopper, certainly nothing like a conservative that many of you would vote for. That's what he's telling the people in Florida, and saying that he also lies on top of all of it. And he says, you know, here's the thing, it's not going to work. Gingrich's rallying cry is, I'm the debater, and I'm the only one who can do it. Anybody else is elected to represent the Republicans, we're in trouble. How about that? And Ron Paul might be the sneakiest of them all, because Paul has a chance to sneak up on Rick Santorum, maybe snatch some more delegates and show up bigger this time around in the primary in Florida. It's kind of looking that way. He's got some support, too, in the Tampa area, a little bit in Miami, believe it or not, and some other nooks and crannies in that state. Remember, there's all kinds of communities there, from the Cuban Americans to an older population to the West Coast versus the East Coast of Florida, which the makeup is very, very different. So it'll be interesting to see how the count goes when all the votes are tallied up, at least primary-wise anyway. But it's far from being over or being called, no matter what happens in Florida, because of what's happened in the first caucus and two other primaries. But it's interesting to watch the wicked mudslinging that's happening mostly between Romney and Gingrich. All right, I mentioned Rick Santorum's name. He's showing up in the polls, but in some cases a little less than Ron Paul, under double digits. And he had a family thing that he had to deal with. He had a daughter that got quite sick, and there was big concern over what was happening with Rick Santorum's daughter. So he scurried back to Pennsylvania. The daughter is in a good hospital in Philadelphia, one of the best in the country for children, as far as especially with any kind of anything that they're dealing with that could be life-threatening. And people were concerned and were asking a lot about his daughter, so he decided he would certainly address that. Here's what he said.
We had gone through a pretty tough 36, 48 hours, but she has gotten through it, and she is doing well. If it wasn't for the national media's harassment to get my income taxes and turn them over to the public, I would not have gone home on Saturday, and I would have not been there at a crisis time for my family. And so, God works in mysterious ways, doesn't he? So.
All right, a backhanded compliment to the media, because he's right. You know, there was that push about the taxes, and he said that he would run back and get the taxes. So, you know, lo and behold, that's what happened. And his wife was asked, his wife Elizabeth was asked a lot about their daughter, their young daughter as well, or his daughter and his wife were both asked about Bella. And that's what they call the three-year-old daughter who was admitted to Children's Hospital. She had pneumonia in both of her lungs. That's scary. She's got a rare and serious genetic disorder. It kills about 90% of the children before or during birth. Very, very tough to even have a child with this disease. So the good news is that she made that turn, like I said. All right, moving from that story to a really, really awful story that happened in the state of Florida, no less. The terrible car accident where it looked like, honestly, there's no way to describe it. I've seen several shots of this. It really looked like a movie set. Like they were trying to show a massive wreck, a massive pileup. But unfortunately, this one was real, and people are saying that it came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, cars were crashing into each other, and it was a combination near Gainesville. It was a combination of a fire, brush fire and smog and fog. So the smog and the fog kind of melding together to make it where you couldn't see. You really had no visibility. For anybody who's ever been behind the wheel and fallen into that kind of a situation, you know how scary it is, where you don't even, you really don't know what to do, where you're, especially if you're on a highway, who's in front of you, it doesn't matter, brights or whatever, because what's that going to do for you? I mean, you're stuck, you're at the mercy of who's around me, is there anything I can see, any place where I can, pull over to get out of this? And so now, as they're still trying to clear this, and 75 is open, that's where it happened, but in clearing this, they're released a bunch of the 911 calls to really show you the gravity of this situation. Take a listen.
Another accident.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
What just happened? Tell me what happened.
Another accident. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my God. What is going on?
Yeah, and that's just a few of them. And it was closed for about 3 hours, 75, early on Sunday. There were a bunch of crashes south of Gainesville specifically. And it happened in the, early in the morning. It was like 3:30 in the morning. And it was that chain reaction crashes where you had vans that were flipped over, trucks that rammed into cars. The fog was just so dense. People didn't really realize what they had seen. And we just gave you a little snippet of the 911 calls. They had about 13 minutes of calls. Everybody was blowing up 911 trying to get help. In the end, 12 passenger cars and 7 semis were involved in this crash. They had fires that burned 3 of the people to the point where they can't even ID them. 3 of 10 people. 10 people were killed, by the way. So the highway patrol is going to review it and try to see if, what they need to do to maybe change their process. But what can you do with the elements? I mean, this is the elements that they were in, and the crashes were awful. People were crying, screaming, moaning. That you had heavy smoke, you had fires from the cars. Just a crazy, crazy, awful situation that I think we can all relate to, but all hope that we never, ever, ever end up in. And this is a highway that stretches from Miami to Michigan. I know many of you travel on and have been on it, and the timing of that brush fire and the fog just made for catastrophic conditions. You also had, besides 10 people that were killed, you had 21 people that were taken to the hospitals because for various things, whether their leg was crushed or had something with their arm or, whatever it was, that they were able to at least escape and make their way to the hospital. But some of those injuries were pretty, pretty bad, obviously, too. It just depended on where they were in this chain reaction situation. Coming up next on America Tonight, by popular demand, great story about a Marine who's in trouble. Our pal Jeff Atticott trying to help him, trying to get people to call a congressman and a senator in Texas to raise awareness. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA, from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. And, of course, anytime we're talking about this administration or we're talking about terrorism, or we like to talk to him anyway, Jeff Atticott, our terrorism expert, joins us now. And, Jeff, apparently you made some big news out of Washington. It was the Washington Examiner, and it has to do with a Marine. And apparently he endangered a tractor. Flush that story out for us.
Yeah, one of the things our Center for Terrorism Law does is we defend for free soldiers that are wrongfully accused of war crimes or crimes on the battlefield and punished for those things. And this particular case, the dad is a retired Navy SEAL by the name of Mark Waddell out of Dallas, Texas. He called me up about 2 weeks ago and said his son was relieved and given a fitness report that ends his career, and would we help him? So I looked into the facts, and it was just unbelievable. What happened is you had an IED that went off on the 28th of October that caused a Marine to lose two legs and a hand, and so the lieutenant in this particular outfit got permission to track the bad guy down, an insurgent, enemy combatant. On the 1st of November, he received permission to engage this target, which they identified, from a helicopter, so they shot him. He was wounded. Some other insurgents came out and put him on a tractor to try to get him away, so the lieutenant ordered the Marine snipers to continue firing. They disabled the tractor, killed the bad guy, and from all all appearances, it was a good kill, no civilians killed. And then a month later, the battalion commander relieves him from his command and gives him a fitness report that basically ends his career. And in there, they say that you violated our little rules of engagement because you shot the tractor and killed the tractor. And you just can't make this stuff up. So we've been fighting for this guy. I've been to see Senator Cornyn. We're getting in touch with the Pentagon. And it's just another case of these rules of engagement gone wild for doing their duty, killing the enemy in combat.
Yeah, no kidding. And Joshua Waddell, the guy you're talking about, this first lieutenant, thank goodness he contacted you guys. I mean, this is a guy, right, that was awarded a Bronze Star during his first tour of duty in Afghanistan. He comes back for a second. I mean, Jeff, he was obviously on his way to an incredible career.
Yeah, he was. In fact, he himself had stepped on a low-impact IED, so he wasn't seriously wounded. And I actually went to the general, one-star general, in theater in Afghanistan and made him aware of the case and told him to, you know, do it the right thing and reinstate him, tear up the fitness report. The general non-concurred with the battalion commander but refused to tear up the fitness report. So now it's in his records, and we're trying to fight that to get it out of the records. But it's just, you know, from the top down, our soldiers are given these rules of engagement that don't make any daggone sense, and they ruin careers over our heroes that are fighting for us. And you know, luckily this guy had a dad that was a Navy SEAL that contacted me, because there are hundreds of cases out there where people in our own chain of command are abusing their authority and punishing our soldiers under these silly, ridiculous, absurd rules of engagement, which we self-impose. They're not required by the law of war. They're self-imposed.
And why is this, especially in Afghanistan, is it to please the president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, or why is that?
Yeah, a lot of it is to please the president. You know, we restrict night attacks. We have to cross our T's and dot our I's. If there's a civilian anywhere near where we're engaging the target, we have to stop shooting. And this is not required by the law of war. They're self-imposed because we want to, quote-unquote, be nice to the Afghanis and win their hearts and minds. But, you know, when you're being killed, when this particular insurgent killed or seriously wounded one of the Marines in their platoon, two legs lost, a hand lost, and now we're going to coddle this person when you have an opportunity to kill him. This lieutenant did the right thing by killing this person. No civilians were killed, by the way. And a tractor, they actually put in his relief thing that he wounded the tractor. You know, unbelievable.
Wow. And the thing is, too, about this, if I'm right, and you would know more than I would, because you're in the middle of this case that's getting all this attention, but the way things work, and he was up for a promotion, and he obviously was decorated, was a hero, that kind of guy, Waddell. So now, at this point, isn't it really up to the commander, whether or not, you know, the battalion commander as to what's going to happen? I mean, if they say, okay, well, even if we talk about this tractor and we clear his name, he still might not get promoted. In fact, that's likely that won't happen, right?
Well, as long as that piece of paper is in his records, he will not get promoted. His promotion board, though, this battalion commander will not sit on that board. If we get the paper pulled out, the battalion commander doesn't get to write him an efficiency report. So if anybody's really concerned with this, we're trying to get Senator Cornyn from Texas energized to help us. So if any of your listeners want to send Senator Cornyn an email and say, please help Lieutenant Waddell, it'd be much appreciated, because that's where we're going national with this, just to bring, you know, to bring to bear what pressure we can, because they're not charging him with a crime, so I can't go into court and defend him. They're simply stabbing him in the back with these administrative procedures.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so we'll be pushing that for sure. Everybody get the pen and paper out. We're going to give you all this stuff, and we're going to send massive emails to Senator Cornyn to try to get more eyes on this story. I think it's just such a travesty. And, you know, this is something, Jeff, that you and I have talked about for a long time. I think one of the very first times that we ever had a discussion, we talked about the rules of engagement, and you said back then, and this was probably 2.5-3 years ago, how ridiculous they were and how hamstrung our military is, and this is a huge part of the problem, isn't it?
It's huge, and our soldiers, you know, are asked to do things that is simply impossible. Our president has set us up for defeat in Afghanistan. He can't define victory. He's negotiating with our enemies. He's tying the hands of our soldiers so we can't do the job that we're supposed to do. And then when we do have, you know, a particular spectacular event like we had with the Navy SEALs, he uses a personal pronoun about 100 times, and is ignoring the big picture, which is we have to achieve victory, and you cannot do that by coddling these people. If you're going to kill enemy combatants, you've got to go in and do it. And this idea that, well, it's asymmetrical warfare, we can't do that, then get out. If you're not going to go in there and crush the enemy, identify the enemy, then we have no business being there.
Yeah, amen. I agree with you 100%. We'll keep eyes on that, and we'll do everything we can to help, Jeff. Since we have you here, I'd be remiss not to ask you about the State of the Union address. You watched. You saw how the start of the State of the Union, there was praise heaped on the military, and whether you're Republican or Democrat, who's not going to applaud that? And then ending with the military. How did you find that? How did that go down for you as you watched the president in that course of an hour?
Well, again, you know, I agree that our military needs to be praised, but the commander-in-chief, it's his job to direct the military towards military victory. There is no substitute for military victory. As I said many times, he absolutely did the wrong thing in Iraq by pulling us out early, and he's done the wrong thing in Afghanistan by not taking advantage of the death of Osama bin Laden and getting us out then so we could be victorious. He's using the military card because he knows that Americans are patriotic. He wants to wrap himself in the American flag as a great war leader. He's absolutely inept in terms of a commander-in-chief, in terms of providing clarity to our soldiers, in terms of providing clarity about what military commissions are, no clarity about Guantanamo Bay, no clarity about indefinite detention issues, about drone issues. He simply goes from pillar to post and gives a great speech, and you know, but I was left kind of very upset, because when you peel back the very thin veneer that he presents, he is not being a responsible commander-in-chief in directing our national security and our military.
Yeah, and you saw that, of course, leading up to this, it was just a few weeks ago, even we spoke about this, the dramatic cuts that we're talking about for defense, and ultimately what does that mean to people here in the States who have come back and also people who are currently serving? I think it's unsustainable. What do you think? The military.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, I mean, somehow liberals believe that there's never going to be another war, and therefore we'll just reduce our military, and everybody will see that as a sign of peace and the olive branch. History shows that when you reduce your military, you guarantee war a lot sooner, because our totalitarian enemies see that as a sign of weakness. We have no saber to rattle because we have no saber. This president has refused to put a dime towards modernizing our nuclear weapons, even though that was requested by our Secretary of Defense, the previous one, because somehow he has this naive idea that we can get rid of nuclear weapons and the world's going to be a lovely place. He has disoriented to reality in that regard. He's on the wrong side of history, and he's placing our country in great jeopardy.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. All right, so we're going to rally the troops, everything we can do, Jeff, to help in this situation. It's just a crazy, crazy story about the rules of an engagement. And Joshua Waddell, a first lieutenant in the U.S. Marines, I'm glad you're involved in this one, and let's hope that we have a good end to this, because what a sad, sad story. As somebody, and I mentioned this at the top, and you know this, going back, dipping back again to go for a second time, another tour of duty, that's a terrible thing to do to someone like Waddell.
Yeah, he was very reluctant to raise this issue, but he's doing the right thing for all the soldiers that are out there that have been abused by these ridiculous rules.
Jeff, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks, Kate.
Jeff, thanks. I'll start hitting that hard. I'll hit the whole thing on corn, and I'll give that out, and I'll put it on the website and stuff.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. Utopiasilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now Utopiasilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details and your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit utopiasilver.com, utopiasilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When's the last time you had a chance to buy a ticket to paradise? Listen up for a truly once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Imagine the ultimate bug-out safe home, surrounded by incredible lush, fertile land, filled with fruit trees, coffee farm, fresh air, wildlife, and gorgeous views of the Pacific Coast. And you could win it for only $200. Yes, a Costa Rican family of four is raffling off their $400,000 home for only $200 per ticket. The winner scores a 2,000-square-foot, three-bedroom, two-bath house, two-car garage with bodega, guest house, nearly 3 acres of fertile coffee farmland, and a 1978 diesel Toyota Land Cruiser. All for only $200 per raffle ticket. Only 2,000 tickets will be sold. Hurry, raffle ends April 30th, 2012. For complete details, visit CostaRicaRaffle.com. That's CostaRicaRaffle.com. Get your ticket to paradise today at CostaRicaRaffle.com.
Listeners, it's Jason Lewis, and now that the holidays have come and gone, it's time to get serious about our New Year's resolutions. For 2012, resolve to protect your most valuable asset, your family. Daily, we hear about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, unemployment, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. For my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE. That's 855-366-3947 and enter promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones you love.
Take charge of your health. Get all natural innovative health products from the new AffinityHealthProducts.com. From weight loss to cold and flu remedies to better joint function, discover natural products you can trust online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, like Lose and Snooze. Fact is, 90% of all diets fail. Why not try a completely new way of dieting? With Lose and Snooze, you can achieve weight loss while you sleep. Guaranteed. Reduce caloric intake, get a deep restorative sleep, build lean muscle mass, and keep your metabolic rate up to burn fat throughout the night and day. With all natural Lose and Snooze from AffinityHealthProducts.com. Include the one-day diet for a complete weight loss package. Order Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet and other all-natural products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com. Spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com. Or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
There's those sirens again. Well, they must have a broken siren because of budgetary reasons across the United States. A lot of police departments, they're short on the sirens. But you know what it's like. Can we hear that siren again? When you hear that. There it is. Oh, when that gets cranking. Now, come on. You are not human, folks. If the blood doesn't start to get pumping when you hear the siren. I mean, what's the first thing you're thinking when you get pulled over? Hopefully you're not thinking, oh my gosh, did I have something extra to drink? Hopefully you're thinking, okay, this is my fault. They couldn't, whatever they clocked me at, come on, this is not right. I'm going to fight this ticket, whatever it is. Why would they be pulling me over? But what's interesting, an interesting thing is the way men handle it versus women. So I thought it'd be fun every once in a while here on America Tonight to throw in a segment called Guy Stuff. And overwhelmingly in my own life, in a survey of men versus women, men have gotten more tickets than women. I've got two friends who are worried, you know, they're talking about going away and they don't want to drive because they know if they get one more ticket, their insurance goes up, they're in trouble, they have to take defensive driving again, and it's for a myriad of reasons, but most of them relating to speeding. At different zones, like one was in a school zone going too fast, another one had a cell phone in a school zone, but most of it was about speeding. And our own Matt Johnson found himself in that situation, I think over the weekend or the week before. Matt, what happened to you?
It was last night. What are you talking about?
It was last night?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. What happened last night?
I was driving home after we got off air and had the road to myself, and there's this little tricky place on the interstate that, because of the rich people that live by there, has been reduced to 45 miles an hour on a freeway, which is absolutely ridiculous. Most people speed through it. That's what I was doing. And there happened to be a state trooper with his lights off hanging around in the weeds there and got me.
Oh, bummer. And so you didn't argue, you just whatever, you handed over your license and that was it.
I'm thinking about fighting it because I think it is completely ridiculous that just because some people have some money and influence, they get to reduce the speed limit on a freeway. And it's only for about a half mile. Well, it's probably like a mile. Half mile to a mile stretch goes from like 65 to 45.
65 to 45. Wow, that's a pretty fast reduction in a small amount of time.
It's, I think it's completely unjust. And there were no other cars on the road because it was, you know, close to 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
No one else around. I'm not endangering anyone else. It's a freeway. I'm going freeway speeds. I feel I have a legitimate argument, and I don't know. Sometimes you can fight those and win, and I don't know. I'm really upset about it, and I don't feel like you should be ticketed for going a freeway speed on a freeway.
Can anybody relate to Matt's plight? I haven't been there in a long time. I haven't gotten a ticket, knock on wood, in a while. The last time I got a ticket, I thought it wasn't fair either, and it was for what the police officer said was a California stop, saying that I didn't stop at the stop sign, and it was in a residential area. I wasn't speeding, but he was saying that I went through the stop sign, though I didn't stop enough. So what's stopping enough? How many seconds do you have to stop? So knock on wood, that was a while ago because it was not a cheap ticket, but I have not, you know, racked up a lot of tickets in my day, luckily, and I've gotten out of tickets, actually, for things like Matt was saying, not where there was a crazy thing and a reduction of going on a freeway and the speed and a sign you could barely see, but something a little bit different where there was a U-turn sign, but you really couldn't see it, and nobody was around, and it was at a weird time of the night, and I did a U-turn and was pulled over for that, and he agreed with me. The cop actually said, you know what, I agree with you, this is ridiculous, and I'm tell you what, we're just gonna forget this, and that's it. I mean, we're good, but, you know, I'm sure there were other people after me that were nailed for that flip around.
See, I was kind of assuming I was going to get a warning, and people might be surprised because, whoa, you were going, you know, 20 miles over the speed limit. But given the time it was, you know, it's after bar close, I was kind of assuming he was just pulling me over to see if I had been drinking. I hadn't been, and then he was going to give me a firm warning and then be on my way because you got DUIs and other things you got to be looking at. And not wasting your time catching someone going freeway speeds on a freeway.
Yeah, I think that might be a fightable thing. I think you might be able to fight that. And I think for everybody listening that has felt the same thing that Matt's felt, you wrestle with, oh, should I just pay it? And it's almost like they're counting on you to just pay the ticket and not fight it, not go to court. Because the other thing is sometimes if the police officer, because they're tied up in something else, they don't go to court, then they just dismiss it. So you always also gamble and run the possibility that it would just get dismissed anyway. But that's definitely a guy thing. The ticket, wrestling with the ticket, deciding what to do, thinking it's wrong, especially with the reduced speeds and where you can't see it. And not that women don't get tickets. Plenty of women listening to the show have gotten tickets. But I think, really, honestly, when I look around, more of the men I know are getting speeding tickets than the women I know, to be sure. All right, here's another guy thing. How many of you are carrying around a janitor stack of keys in your pocket right now? This is how they do sound effects on the Universal lot. Somebody shakes their keys. All right, the keys you just heard there, can you even guess how many keys you just heard shaking. It's the keys to the Republican vote. No, it's the it's actually Matt's keys as well. I heard him shaking them earlier in the show, and I thought, well, that's a guy thing, where guys carry around a lot of keys. Women do not carry a lot of keys unless they happen to be in a role where they're locking up a whole bunch of places. They own some kind of condominium, but even then they would have somebody who worked for them. I can't ever in my lifetime recall seeing a woman pull out of a purse or a bag or anything a whole mess of keys and slap them down on the table, usually one or two, a door key and a car key on the same key ring, maybe different key rings, but never a whole bunch of keys. I think every man I've ever dated in my life or married in my life have the janitor stack of keys like Matt. And then the worst is when they can't find them, because then literally the keys to everything, including things they don't know, have disappeared and you're in trouble. Hey, where'd the keys go? Well, I don't know. I lost every single key. I hope we have copies of those keys. A guy thing, not a female thing. Definitely, the more keys you carry, I don't know what it is. Is it keys to old cars, keys to old apartments, just keys you've collected, you don't even know what the keys are for? No woman could be bothered with that many keys. One or two maximum. And if they had other keys, they'd be on a different key ring. They wouldn't carry them around like that. But this might be a guy thing, too. Leaving money to a driver and a doorman, I think it's incredibly generous, and it's a great story that I came across today. This millionaire Park Avenue music mogul who was upset and lonely after his wife of 13 years got rid of him, you know, dumped him. He had some workers who gave him, you know, that conversation, the shoulder to cry on, that kind of thing. So when he died, he decided to leave the money, $1.5 million, to the two of them. How about that? Alan Meltzer is the guy's name. Might be familiar to some people because he had a little bit of fame. He was the head of a Wind-Up Records, and he was a celebrity high-stakes poker player. That's where some of you might recognize the name. He died last October. And it was like a year after he and his wife had divorced. They didn't have any kids. They had been married for over 13 years. And so he left them all of that money. How cool is that? The rich chauffeur, or at least the chauffeur gets that money, got $1 million. And the doorman got $500,000 from the will. That's cool. I bet you they had no clue that they were going to get that money. He might have even said to one or both of them, I don't know, that I didn't read that anywhere, that, geez, I'll take care of you or something, but I doubt it. And they were probably stunned when they learned that they were getting that money. I think that is so cool. That's a guy thing. Leaving the money, feeling jilted, depressed, needing a buddy, being kind of isolated, so the two people that are there working for you, he turns around and he spiffs them both in a very, very big way. His estate was like worth $10 million, so they got a pretty decent chunk of that for wherever the rest of it went. And I guarantee they were not expecting it. That's one of the best. In fact, that's one of the best stories that I've read, where somebody who was driving someone around, or you know, was their sort of companion for however long, got that money. 33% of the estate. I mean, this was a guy who had big personality. I remember seeing him on the tube playing poker. That's where I remember him from. I didn't know that he was also the record guy. But, you know, now he's got the money divvied up in other areas. Pretty cool. Pretty cool, gotta say. All right, coming up here on America Tonight, we're going to jump back into the business of politics. What's going on with the Democrats? What's happening with Barack Obama while all of this shakes out in Florida with the Republicans? We're going to tell you next.
D.
Did you know that how well your brain works is directly dependent upon how well your gut works? Did you know that an inflamed or compromised digestive system directly contributes to poor focus, depression, irritability, attention deficit, and hyperactivity? By eliminating the inflammation in your intestines and by having good bacteria populations, you may enjoy better brain function. The most important protein your body needs to keep inflammation down is glutathione. The number one food to support a dramatic increase in glutathione production is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. Virtually all whey proteins are damaged by heat, filtration, and chemicals, except one. One World Whey is the most life-giving whey protein on the market. It is changing the lives of its users in very positive ways. One World Whey may act as one of the most important health foods to support your and your child's optimal brain function. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Feel it, see it, hear it today. If you can't, then it doesn't matter anyway. You will never understand it, because it happens to me. And it feels so good, it's like walking the glass.
All right, we're heading to the finish line once again here on American Sunday, this hour anyway. And we're going to tell you about Obama and what he's been doing while the Republicans duke it out in Florida in a second here on ATM. But first, let's go to Jay in Kentucky. Hey, Jay.
How you doing, Kate?
Good, buddy. What's shaking in your neck of the woods?
Oh, I've been out of the loop for the last week on business out of town, so... just getting back into the swing of things. I know I had the Giants winning by 3 in overtime. I can't remember what I had for a score or if anybody else nailed the score.
Nobody nailed the score. I don't remember exactly what your score was, but I went through all the scores and nobody had it. You didn't have it. I know. We were so close. I think you might have been the closest, but you didn't have it. And so nobody had it. So I was saying that, boy, this will be a big week because here you have the only game in town, the Super Bowl. And once you own that guess, you own it. So a lot of people have been calling in and emailing, and we get all those calls and emails. I bet somebody wins this time.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great.
Yeah, hey, I think so.
One more thing. Have you touched base on that lawsuit down in Georgia?
The lawsuit? You mean on the free trade stuff? Is that what you're talking about?
No. Down about Barack Obama and his eligibility to run as president in Georgia.
Oh, that's been going on now for the last week or so.
Yeah, well, the judge ordered Obama or his representative into court, and they just kind of blew him off.
Yeah.
And I think there's some legitimacy to this claim, because the reason they're blowing him off is because they don't want to... I think his birth certificate may be fake, and if they submit it into court evidence, they're submitting a fraud document. And with his records being sealed from college, I wonder if it's possible that it's because he applied for an alien grant, and the Social Security number 042 is specific to the Connecticut area. So there's a lot of questions around that, and I'm wondering if a bunch of states are going to follow suit.
Well, I'll tell you what, if the, you know, it's interesting because you're talking about, the, you know, him being on the ballot and that kind of stuff. So if there's some confusion on that, because that happened, it was a couple of days ago, actually. It had to go into last week because it was the 26th, I want to say, when all this came up. But regardless, anyway, you're right. If more states decide to take this up, and they're claiming that Obama's name was disallowed from appearing on the ballot and da-da-da-da and all this other stuff, and what does this judge do because he's hearing the challenges like you said, I don't know. If more states do that, it certainly could cause them to at least have to respond. They can't ignore it. How could they ignore it if too many states took it up?
Well, looks like Gingrich might be out of this in Florida, and... according to the latest polls, Romney's built up quite a lead, but I guess Gingrich went back and went one for one spending money over the last couple days going into the tally. So we'll see what happens down there. But I'm back listening to your show every night again. So I just wanted to touch base with you and see if anybody hit it.
Nobody hit it.
All right, we'll talk to you later, Kate.
All right, nobody hit it. Jay, hoping that somebody hits it, too, because he threw in a $50 gas card or a $100 bill on a table of one of the cabins that he would rent you in the Smoky Mountains if you decide you wanted to do that. All right, let's go to another one. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Hello, Kate.
Hello.
Got some good news for you.
What's the good news?
Well, I went to Home Depot store on Saturday. They had a big sign up for not hiring. They had like 8-9 different job classifications. So all these little whiny ass people can't find a job. I can't find a job. They go Home Depot and they're hiring. And they get all kinds of, like the lumber yard or the greenhouse or, you know, appliance. So there's their jobs.
All right, so you think that the economy is turning around, there are jobs,
yeah,
and people need to get off Barack Obama's back?
Yeah, because when I was in there, there's married couples, a lot of picking up drywall, lumber, nails, screws, sinks, faucets. There's couples, married couples back looking at appliances, buying stuff. So everybody, somebody must be working somewhere to afford to buy all that stuff. So
people are shelling out some coin. There's got to be something going on. We're getting jobs.
Yeah, that's right.
Hey, you know what? I got to tell you, though. The president did have a huge screw-up during the day. He was speaking, in fact, in Georgia, which I thought was initially what Jay was getting at, and he bungled up the job numbers. I'm sure it's been reported all over the place. But, I mean, anyone could trip, but I'm just saying it was pretty funny. He said that the administration had created 22 million jobs. Whoops. 3 million jobs? Wishful thinking. 22 million. If it was 22 million jobs, then it'd be pretty tough to nail him on anything related to the stimulus, things that have fallen through, shovel jobs, whatever. So, you know, this is the thing. Obama is the incumbent president, and it's tough to unseat an incumbent. This is why we had, in the previous two administrations, think about it. You had Bush and you had Clinton before that. They both were two-termers, 8 years. So is this the president that stops the chain of 8 years? Otherwise, we've had would have three-term presidents seems so unlikely, doesn't it? But I don't know. Unlikely that if you were to prognosticate and look ahead and say, how many people get reelected, there are gaps in that if you go throughout our history when you look at presidential races. And this is what's going to happen on the campaign trail. It's going to be about jobs we've created, jobs that are coming down the pike, that kind of thing. It's about the economy and what's in people's wallets. We already know that. That's been what's been coming for a year and a half on both sides of this thing, the Republicans or Obama. It's about who's giving you the jobs, who's giving you the opportunities, without a doubt. And speaking of opportunities, the president was in Georgia, not worried about what was happening with the judge and challenges to his birth certificate and being on the ballot, but focusing on free trade. This is another thing that was, remember, part of the conversation at the State of the Union address. Here's a little snippet of what he had to say.
What we've agreed to is a high-level dialogue between our two countries about how we can continue to strengthen trade relations between our two countries, including the possibility of a free trade agreement.
Free trade. How do you feel about free trade agreements with what countries are we talking about? We see, unfortunately, how free trade can also be crippling to the economy, but he's talking about Georgia wanting to join the U.S. supporting Georgia's aspirations to join NATO, the other Georgia, and to actually explore the possibility of free trade with them. Remember, you have to kind of wind the clock back and think of the former Soviet Republic and everything that happened there. And he had a meeting with the president of the other Georgia and said that the U.S. is ready to help the free market development and promised to try to continue some kind of a dialogue on how we can strengthen the relationship between the two countries and strengthen that. He didn't make any commitment to sell any kind of arms to Georgia because that's what they want. They want guns. They're looking for guns. And you can imagine why they're looking for guns. The government there is trying to recapture the 10% or maybe even more economic growth that it had achieved before it lost that war with Russia back in 2008. And the economy really jumped up in 2011. I was looking at some statistics for them. Almost 9%. And remember, there were things that were in motion, investments and commercial things, that kind of stuff, before that five-day war with Russia, if you go back to 2007. So they're trying to strengthen that one more time. Any thoughts on the show, send them to me at americatonight.net.
Oh, that's an awful lot of money for the stupidest idea I've ever heard. Is this a business decision, or is it personal? Because if it's business, I'll go away happily. But if it's personal, I'll go away. But I won't be happy. It's personal.